All right. Good morning again. I get to say that a lot on Sunday mornings. Good morning, good morning, good morning, right? If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Job chapter 42, we're going to look at the first six verses of Job 42. God's actions and our reactions. So Job chapter 42, starting in verse 1, says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered, that I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this day. Every day is a gift from you, and these Lord's days that you give us, where we can be in your house, are such a blessing to us. And we thank you for each one here today, Father. I pray, as always, that you'd speak to each and every heart personally. I pray that you'd give me the very words to preach as we look at this. And Father, you're always, always moving in our midst and all. And yet, how do we react? How do we react? I like how Job reacted. I pray, Father, that we could learn something from Job. And I pray, Father, that you'd be lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done here. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For every action, there is a reaction. That's something that we've heard. I mean, if you spend any time in school at all, you always heard that. For every action, there's a reaction, right? So, with that thought in mind, I want to bring to our attention this morning that God is acting in our lives. Every single day, God is acting in our lives. And it's amazing to see the things that God's doing in each life. And I like, not that any other service is any different, but Sunday evening services where we share blessings and/or testimonies, I like that because we get to share what God's doing in our lives. And sometimes it's like, well, this was what was happening and this is what God did, or this is how God, answered this prayer or that prayer. Whatever it might be, it's just a blessing to hear about what God's doing in people's lives. But He is working in our lives every single day. And I thank Him for that. So He's acting, and we are reacting. We're reacting to the things He is doing in our lives. I think of it a lot like playing checkers, right? And I haven't played checkers in years. I used to enjoy it. I really enjoyed playing checkers years ago. Today, I probably wouldn't know the first thing about what I'm doing. It's been so long. People say, "Well, no, you'll pick right back up again." No, I don't know about that. The older you get, the more you forget, right? But I used to enjoy doing that. And so the whole thing is the person that you're playing with, they act, and then you react to what they've done. And that's kind of how life goes, right? People are doing things, God's doing things, and then how we react to those things. And so the fact is, God acted in Job's life. And He acted a certain way in Job's life, and Job had to determine how he was going to react to what God had allowed to happen in his life. I want to look at some of the ways that Job reacted to the actions that God had done in his life. And the first one is he had to react to God's power. To God's power. You read the book of Job, and I enjoyed the book of Job, and many of you know that was the last book I got to read to my mom before she went home to be with the Lord. And I enjoy that book. It means a lot to me because I got to spend that time with my mom each day. And it was a special time. I asked her what she wanted, and that's the book she wanted me to read to her. So that's what we did. And I think she took comfort in the fact that no matter what she was going through, there's always somebody out there that's going through something worse, right? And so we need to keep that in mind as well. But God was doing some things in Job's life. And if you read through the book of Job, you'll see that God stripped Job of everything he had except his life. Most people say, well, I just don't know how he could stay true to God after all that. I mean, throw in the towel, and if God's going to do that to you, you might as well give up on God, right? No. Job is a wonderful story of things that are happening in people's lives. And we look around, we go, well, I went through this, and I went through that, and I went through this other thing. And folks, life happens to everybody. We have a tendency to think that life only happens to us. No, it happens to everybody. You know, we just went through it in January where my daughter and granddaughter in Oklahoma, they found out that they have this syndrome thing that's going on, and it can be deadly. So that's kind of scary. And then our daughter miscarried, and Dad went home to be with the Lord, all in a short period of time. We found all of that out in the same week. And people say, how are you dealing with this? We're just trusting God. And he gets you through it. But a lot of people say, well, you need to turn your back on God because look at what he's done. No, you don't need to turn your back on God. You need to keep trusting in him, leaning on the everlasting arms. He'll get you through it. But God took everything that Job had but his life. Well, and he left the wife too, but if you read the story, she told him to curse God and die, right? Yeah, you got to love, you know, having a support group like that, right? But anyway, all of this stuff happens in his life, and he had to react. It's how he reacted that we need to look at. Now, let me remind you, when a poor man loses everything he has, he didn't have much. Right? They're not much to lose when you don't have anything. I often find it amusing, and we had a homeless man that was coming here for when the weather's nicer. When it turned, he'd go back to California. And then he'd come back up this way when the weather was nicer and all, and he was homeless. And he'd show up here with boxes and bags and all kinds of stuff. I said, for a homeless man, he's got more stuff than somebody who has their own place to live. I'm amazed at how much stuff he had. And he just kept saying, I just keep accumulating. I said, how do you move all this stuff? Well, when I took over here, he had a bunch of stuff in the basement here. And I said, no, it's time for that to go. And he kept bringing more stuff and kept, this is not a storage unit. We have stuff we need to keep here. You need to move that stuff. And it finally did leave. And the guy who came to pick it up, he goes, how much stuff is there? I said, you might want to bring a truck. He said, he's homeless. I said, I totally get it, but you might want to bring a truck. And when he backed up to the door over here and we were carrying up the stairs and putting it in his truck, he says, how does this guy have this much stuff? I don't know. It's amazing. But somebody who has little and everything's taken from them, they didn't lose much, right? But if you read the book of Job, Job had a lot. Job was a wealthy man. In fact, he had thousands of sheep and oxen and camels and seven sons and three daughters. And he lost everything in a day. Yeah. Job was a rich man with a good reputation. And he lost all that he had. Now I want you to see how he reacted. Look back at our text in verses 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Wow. Job's acknowledging something here. He's saying that God is a powerful God. He's a powerful God. Job was saying, you're a powerful God, and you can do anything you choose to do. And it's true, he is. And he does. He's got all power, and nothing and no one can stop him. And Job realized that. But Job not only recognized that, he also had to deal with something. That Almighty God had taken his power and wiped out everything he loved and cherished. God has the power to destroy in a moment. In a moment. Everything we've spent our whole life trying to accumulate, he can wipe out in a moment. I often tell people, you know, don't get too attached to those things because God can take them away. We get so attached to things. I said, there's stuff in my house that if it was gone, it's no big deal, right? But there's some things in my house that have some sentimental attachment. I have a rocking chair that was my grandmother's when she was a child. Then it was passed down to my mother when she was a child. And then we ended up with it after my dad passed and our grandkids used it. And they loved it. And now it just sits there. It's a dust collector, but it's got sentimental value because it's a family heirloom. That I would have a little problem just saying, well, just throw it away. But let me tell you this, folks. One day, that rocking chair is going to burn up. All this stuff that we think is so valuable is going to be gone. I know Brother Anchor used to say, possess your possessions. People have possessions that they don't even know they still have. Because they've never seen it, used it. I mean, it's amazing. I bet if all of us went home today and started going through every nook and cranny in our house, we go, man, where did that come from? Because we don't know we have it. Or the old story is, do you got one of these? Oh yeah, I wish I knew where that was. Haven't seen it for 100 years, right? Okay, well, maybe not that long. But and we all, it's amazing. I often said every time we'd move, I said, it's like this stuff multiplies. It's like, I don't know how this stuff just keeps, but it just keeps growing. And we have stuff coming out our ears. But God can take it all away in a moment. We see the awareness of his power in the day of the Lord. One day, God's awesome power will be demonstrated before the whole world in two ways. Look over in 2 Peter 3:10. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. One day, everything we see is going to be burned up. Sometimes that's hard to take, right? All this stuff's going to be gone. All this stuff that we valued so highly is going to be gone. God says he's going to burn it up. He's a powerful God, and there's nothing on this earth that even comes close to comparing to the power of God. Nothing. You know, I've seen documentaries about the atomic bomb and all, and you see those things exploding and the big puff of smoke and dust and everything that comes up out of it and how it just wipes out everything in its path. All of the atomic bombs, all of the bombs that they've been raining down on Ukraine and all of the ones that went into Israel, and all, if you put all of those things together and all of them that are stockpiled, they still are not a drop in the bucket compared to the power of God. We have a hard time understanding exactly how powerful Almighty God is. He uses that power however He chooses. He's God. He gets to choose. And there's nothing that anyone can do about it. When God decides to unleash His power, there's nothing anyone can do about it. He's all powerful. There's times when God acts and He wipes out things that we cherish. But He also uses His power to open doors. Praise the Lord that He does. He opens doors that only the power of God can open. And I thank Him for that. When God uses His power to wipe out things in our lives that we love, things that make it extremely hard for us to humble ourselves before Almighty God, how do we react? Yeah. Look at Job chapter 1. I use this verse a lot when somebody has lost a loved one and I send a sympathy card to them, because I use just the latter part of the verse, but I'm going to read all of it. Job 1, verse 21. So Job chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job certainly reacted in a way that was pleasing to God. But everyone does not react that same way. Not everybody reacts like Job did when life is turned upside down. There are people that are angry with God. So angry with God. They know that He's powerful God. They understand that He's used His power to do things in their lives, but they are angry with Him. And you can talk to people, and I know a family, they lost their son. They used to be churchgoers. They used to love the Lord. But God took their son from them. How dare God take their son from them? And that's their attitude. And they've turned their back on God. Because God allowed their son to be taken from them, and they blame Him for it. I remember my dad years ago, he said, "We're all getting out of this life one way." I said, "Well, I'd like to think of there's two ways. We either die or we get raptured out. I'd just as soon go in the rapture myself, but either way, I still go home, right? So I still get to win." But he said, "We're just not getting out of this life by living through it. These bodies aren't designed to live forever. And we're going to face death in our lives." And I notice the older I get, the more I face. More people are passing on as I get older and older and older. And one day that could very well be me. Do you know that anyone who loses a loved one could react the same way that that family reacted? We have the option of how we're going to react. And we could all act just like that. And can you imagine if every single person who's ever lost a loved one would act that way? Where they turn their back on God? Let me tell you, folks, death has touched everyone. That means there'd be no one following after God. No one. Can you imagine what this place would be like if no one wanted to follow God? It'd be a horrible place. What we have to remember is this. Everything that we have, everything that we see, belongs to God. I've said for years, if God took it all away today, it's His. It's just on loan to me, but it's His. And if He takes it all, it wasn't mine anyway. We have to get to the point where we understand it's all His. We say things like, these are my children. This is my home. This is my car. This is my body. But the fact is, it all belongs to God. And sometimes, by the almighty hand of God, He strips those things from us. When He does that, it should be a reminder that they don't belong to us. They belong to Him. He is God. Everything we see is His creation. Everything. I'd say He's perfectly within His rights to take it all. Belongs to Him. When He acts, we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us react in a humble way, like Job did. Then two, we have to react to His knowledge. Look at back to our text in verses 2 and 3 of Job 42. I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Have you ever noticed that God doesn't turn and ask us what we think? He doesn't ask our opinion. He doesn't ask what we think He should do, right? He doesn't ask our opinion. He doesn't need our input. I've said for years, there's some people that will tell you that, oh yeah, I saw God and He came to me and He asked me my opinion on this and I told Him what I thought He should do and He did that. No, that's a lie. God does not need to ask us for anything. God doesn't need anything from us. He wants our worship. He wants our fellowship. He wants our obedience. He doesn't need it. See, God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need us. We have a hard time dealing with that. He has all knowledge. Not one of us could tell God something He doesn't already know. Isn't that interesting? That's why I always find it interesting when people say, well, that's what it says, but this is what he meant. Be careful. You start thinking you know more about things than God does? When people say that to me, I go, you stand over there, and I'll stand over here, so when the lightning strikes, it'll hit the right person, right? No, I could be standing right next to them, and God could strike them dead and miss me totally. He's powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He never asks us for advice. He already knows what we're thinking. That's hard to grasp, isn't it? He already knows what I'm thinking. Wow. Do you know there's people that are sitting in church services right now? God knows what they're thinking, and they should be ashamed. I can imagine that there's people that are thinking about maybe that pot roast that's waiting at home cooking for lunch or dinner, depending on where part of the country you live in, right? Or maybe they're thinking, if that preacher would just hurry up, I could get to my favorite restaurant before all the food's gone. I've been in churches where the alarms on the watches go off as soon as the clock strikes noon. And they'll beep all over the place. I'm like, how rude can you get to set your watch? Like you're telling God that you're done? My favorite revival meeting I was at, the preacher got up and he says, I'm going to go till God's done. You go till you're done. And if you're done before God's done, see ya. I said, wow, I like that. That was pretty good. He didn't say he was going till he's done. He said he's going till God's done. God gives a message, there's a reason for it. I thought, wait till all the alarms on the watches start going off and he can have a heyday with that, right? It's amazing. Some people ought to be ashamed of their thinking, because God already knows what it is. He knows everything we think. You know, when it comes to God, there's no privacy act. Isn't that interesting? I've been dealing with that with dad's stuff, with HIPAA. Yep, I had his power of attorney for healthcare, so I call and I said, I was his power of attorney for healthcare. Well, that ceased as soon as he died. I get that. But who else are you going to talk to so we can get this stuff resolved? Well, you got to send us the power of attorney. You already have it. Well, we don't have it. Okay, so you send it to him. Well, we can't talk to you because it says it only goes into effect after he no longer can. He was in a memory care facility with Alzheimer's. What makes you think that he could make decisions on his own? Well, we need that in writing from a physician. And it's like, the only one that could have a problem with it is deceased. Let me tell you, you're not going to have those problems with God because there's no privacy act with God. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. Some people say, well, I don't like that. Do you know God doesn't care what you like and what you don't like? That doesn't change God at all. I've said many times, there's a lot of people who use the Bible as a cafeteria-style thing. And they say, well, I like this part, but I don't like this part, so I'm going to leave that part out. I often wonder why they don't just tear the pages out that they don't like and they got nothing left, right? But God doesn't say that. God says every bit of His Word is profitable for every one of us. Not just the parts we like. So we can't just take what we like. We have to take the whole word. He knows our every thought. He knows our every action. There's no privacy act with God. Do you know the Bible says He is the potter and we are the clay? Have you ever worked with clay? I have. It doesn't get to decide what happens. It got to be molded however I put it. That's the way it works. The problem we have most of the time is we try to make God like one of us. He's not. We try to have a relationship with God like we do all the other humans, right? He's not like us. We humans have to respect each other's privacy. God does not have to respect our privacy. He's not like us. And there's not one thing we can do about it. Look at Psalm 139. Verses 1 through 6. I like this. Of course, I like the Word of God anyway, so just another part I like. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. There's not a place you can go that God's not waiting, not there already waiting. Isn't that interesting? There's not a thought that you can think that God is not already aware of. Every day He's acting in our lives in such a way that He knows everything that we think and everything that we do. He wants us to know that we're accountable to Him. We're accountable to Him with all our thoughts and deeds. We are accountable to Him. There's sometimes when we think something. I know I'm going to pick on Brother David. He's an easy target, right? Brother David. Every once in a while I'll say, I didn't say it. He said, but you were thinking it. Right? And it's true. I was thinking it most of the time. God already knew I was thinking it. I don't know if He told Brother David I was thinking it or not, but God knew. But we do that, right? You might not have said it, but I know you were thinking it. Well, God already knows you're thinking it. Before you even say it or not say it, He already knows you're thinking it. Isn't that interesting? We think we're pulling something over on God, right? Well, I didn't say it, so He doesn't know. Yeah, He does. He knows your every thought. There's nothing that we can think that He's not aware of. We're going to stand before Him one day on Judgment Day. I think He's going to say, I gave you a mind and you used it for those kind of thoughts. He's going to say, I gave you ears and you listened to that kind of stuff. I gave you hands and you did that kind of things. I gave you feet and you went to those kind of places. We need to reach a place in our lives where we say, God, You already have all the answers. You already know everything. Just guide us in the right path. And then let Him guide you. This will date me a little bit. There used to be a show on called Father Knows Best. Let me tell you what, the Heavenly Father knows best. Job said, in essence, God, You've taken everything I loved and cherished. I do not understand what's going on, but I know You do. Wow. Could we get to that point? I don't know what's going on, God, but I know You do, and I'm just trusting You. No matter what's happening, I mean, he lost everything. God, I don't have any idea what's going on, but I know you do. Wow. Psalm 139:6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Then number three, we react to God's greatness. Look at verses 5 and 6 of Job 42. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. God can't help being who he is. He's a great God. He's a great God. And he never has acted in a way other than being a great God. Job told God that there was a time in his life when he had heard about him. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now he says, but now mine eye seeth thee. There's a huge difference between knowing about God and knowing God. A huge difference. I believe God's churches are full of people who know about him. But I wonder how many truly know him. Some people can say, you know, I spent my whole life in church. I grew up being taught about God. But there was a time in my life when I came to know him. Many know about God, but they don't know God. And how can we say that? Because if you truly know God, it's going to produce a reaction in your life to the circumstances in your life that's different. Job's reaction once he knew the Lord in verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Once Job saw the greatness of God, he saw himself in a different fashion. Yeah, we live in a society today when we think we're pretty good. Humans think we are it, right? No, God knows. God knows exactly who we are. It's difficult today to get sinners to publicly lay aside their pride and come and kneel at an altar for salvation. It's difficult in this age of pride to get people out of their seat and come to an altar and kneel and pray for the sin in their life. It's difficult in this age of pride to get people to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. In fact, a lot of people have the attitude that we're doing God a favor by showing up in his house and giving him an hour of our day. That's the attitude of a lot of people today. We're doing God a favor. No, he's doing us a favor by allowing us to have a place to meet and come and worship him. We are the beneficiaries of this. It's to our benefit that he allows us to do this. Who are we to think that he is benefiting by our giving up an hour and coming and sitting in a church? No. We are the ones that are blessed. We are the ones that are privileged that God would want to meet with us. When Job came to know God and saw himself compared to the greatness of God, he said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When we truly know God, we can't help to be like Job. Yeah. He felt compelled to fall on his knees in repentance. The question today is not, will God act, but how are we going to react to God? Job didn't have to react in the way he did. God doesn't put a gun to our head and say, react this way or you're done. He doesn't do that. Job didn't have to react the way he did. But God acted upon Job's life. And God is acting upon each and every one of ours. The reason there's going to be a judgment one day is because of our reactions. How did we react? So what's our reaction to his power, his knowledge, and his greatness? Job reacted in the proper way. Are we going to be like Job and realize who God is and who we truly are? Or are we still going to think we're something great and God's just like one of us? Choice is up to us, because God doesn't force us to act any specific way. He gave us free will, and we get to choose. Will we choose the right way, or will we choose our way? The choice is ours. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this message today, and we thank you for the account of Job, and after all he went through, all that he lost, he realized who he was. When he truly saw you for who you are, and truly saw himself as what he was, he repented. Father, I pray that we would realize who you are and see us for truly who we are. See this example of Job as an example that we want for our lives. Again, Father, as always, if there's someone in our midst who has never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. For those who have, Father, I pray that we are seeing ourselves in the light of who we truly are, and seeing you for how great you are, how powerful you are, how all-knowing you are. So I pray, Father, as we have a time of invitation now and we turn it over to you, that you'd be glorified in all that's said and done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.